Here's Miller and Condon.
Hour number two. Welcome back. It's Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. In 15 minutes or thereabouts, Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com will join us. We'll recap the Wisconsin game from last night, get the latest on football from Tom as well. That's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, our friend Dave Sproul, KASI, 1430 on the AM dial. That's where you can hear Dave Sproul. If you're a Cyclone fan who can't be in front of your TV tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, you can listen to Dave Sproul and Eric Heft on the Cyclone Radio Network, of course, down the hall here, 100.3 The Bus, as Dave pinch hits for John Walters as he gets past his COVID. How are you, Dave Sproul? Congratulations on the call-up. How's things going?
Oh, you know, just another slow week up here in Ames. Not much going on.
No, it was good to hear you. It was good to see you. The camera would pan down the bench. You catch TJ, and when TJ was walking in front of the you guys, he, of course, got a little FaceTime, which doesn't hurt. So is that the first time you've done a Big 12 men's game?
For Iowa State, yes. A few years back, Northern Illinois needed some help, and I did a basketball game for them at Hilton Coliseum because their announcers were doing a midweek football game. So I've done that before, but kind of from the other perspective, but this is the first time I've done it for Iowa State men's basketball on the Cyclone Network.
Really cool and great opportunity for you, Dave. So you know this team incredibly well. How different is it, though, from what you're normally doing and being back in that play-by-play chair and also going from high school, as you call games, for the little Cyclones and jumping up there and doing a men's basketball game? Game's got to go a little quicker for you.
Most of the time it does, but Wednesday night, not so much. That one was, as Isaiah Brockington said after the game, you know, a rock fight. So that one was certainly a little different. I got to admit, I was pretty nervous going into that one because I got very short notice on Wednesday about doing Wednesday night's game. But I'll tell you what a pro Eric Heft is. He comes so just super prepared, not only with his knowledge of Iowa State and its opponent, but all the things that go into making a broadcast good, he and John kind of have this down to a science by now. So I was just plugging in some of the holes there, and that's all. And then once the game got started, I got a little more comfortable, and it was a little bit more like a typical kind of play-by-play situation. But it is very different being in that arena, in that atmosphere, with those level of players, certainly compared to a high school game.
Well, it wasn't the prettiest day, but at the end of the day, they put another one in the win column. Offense is going to be seemingly difficult to find on this team this year. Brockington is going to get his. Jazz Kuntz will, you know, he'll chip in as he did. He got to the free throw line a whole bunch in that game. I recall that about it. But where's that offense? Where could it come from? Enaruna struggled the other night. Hunter's going to have ups and downs in his freshman campaign. Kalsher, you know, he's every now and then he can provide some offense, but you can certainly come to know that you can't expect that from him. Is there anybody that can step up that, you know, maybe a grill gets consistently hot instead of, you know, one game he's making shots, then he goes a couple of games where he really struggles?
Yeah, that's the thing. Outside of Isaiah Brockington, I don't think Iowa State has had a really consistent offensive player throughout the course of the season so far, and we've seen some guys get hot. And, you know, Brockington kind of had a rough game for the most part, right up until he got that huge 4-point play to give Iowa State the lead for good. Yeah, that was such a huge play. But beyond that, I mean, I think offensively, you just got to rely on your defense to create opportunities on the offensive end. TJ Otzelberger has talked about that a lot. He's not going to apologize for whatever shortcomings they have on offense because he's that confident and that focused on what Iowa State can do on defense, and it paid off. I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that can win by making just 3 field goals in a full half, but Iowa State's one of them. I think last time that happened in a Big 12 game or involving a Big 12 team was like 2014 or something like that. So you hang your hat on defense, you just ride that as far as you can. That's part of the plan for Iowa State, for that defense to turn into offense. And then, see whoever has the hot hand that day, maybe it can carry you a little bit more on the offensive end, too.
Jazz Kuntz has become one of the most efficient offensive players in the country right now. In fact, he is fifth in the country.
Is he really?
In offensive rating at Ken Pomeroy. That's the level that he's playing at. Is there a possibility down the line where we see him maybe in the starting lineup or even getting more minutes than he is right now, just because a team that needs offense, and he certainly provided it this year?
Yeah, I suppose that could be a possibility. It's kind of a trade-off. I mean, how much do you want to sacrifice on the defensive end to get a good offensive player? Although I got to give Kuhn some credit. He showed to be a very willing defender on Wednesday, I think more so than I've seen during this season. And he drew 11 fouls, and three of them, you know, he drew offensive fouls from Texas Tech, which were just huge for Iowa State in that one. So, you know, maybe, you know, if TJ wants to mix it up, he can plug Jazz in there and give him a shot and see how that affects the defense. And But I don't know how much experimenting you want to do, you know, on the other side of the court, and how much experimenting you want to do during the Big 12 season. So we'll have to wait and see. I wouldn't anticipate any changes, but you never know.
Oklahoma comes into this game tomorrow night at 1-1, same as Iowa State. Both teams have lost to, I think, arguably the best team. Maybe you wouldn't get much of an argument. Best team in the Big 12 in Baylor. Here's what I know about this Oklahoma team. Do you remember the Groves brothers, Trent, from Eastern Washington last year? And I was bitching at how McCaffrey's got to go after Tanner Groves. Well, he's at Oklahoma now. Porter Moser's got him. He was really good in the tournament last year, one of the stars of that tournament. They looked like they left the set of Game of Thrones and put on a basketball uniform, those dudes. What else have they got as you scout Oklahoma, as you get ready to call the game tomorrow? What do you see when it comes to Oklahoma?
Well, like Iowa State, a whole lot of Division I transfers on the Oklahoma roster. The Groves brothers coming over from Eastern Washington. Jordan Goldwire coming over from Duke. He was an all-ACC defender last season. They've got couple other guys who transferred in, Ethan Shagwa, who came in after 4 years at SMU. So he's been a big part of what they're doing there. So it's a little bit like Iowa State in that they have a lot of new faces, a lot of Division I transfers. And we're going to probably say this throughout the Big 12 season, but another team that really wants to start what it does on the defensive end.
A game that certainly is winnable. And there are not a whole lot of winnable games on the road in the Big 12, just how good this conference is. Again, Iowa State's in such a great position. There's no must wins at this point. They're 13-1 for crying out loud. There's nothing like that. But just getting a road victory and maybe getting some of that confidence that translates to, hey, it's not just a Hiltner on a neutral floor. We can do this on the road and finding a way to get a road victory. Just the importance with what they have also looming around the corner, starting with Kansas next week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's probably something that's not on the mind of Oppelberger and his players, but you know, getting road wins in the Big 12 is pretty valuable if you have NCAA tournament hopes. And I looked up today, Joe Lunardi has Iowa State as a 4 seed in the tournament, which is just wild to think about. And Iowa State is one of 4 teams right now with at least 4 quad 1 victories, which is huge for your NCAA tournament hopes. But you go on the road, get some nice wins in conference. That certainly helps your cause as well as, you know, protecting home court. And Oklahoma's not ranked. I don't think they're a quad 1 team. I don't really know how that all breaks down off the top of my head, but road wins in the Big 12 are always valuable when it comes to postseason seeding and to, you know, make yourself get into that upper tier of Big 12 teams.
Ann Aruna had been starting to show up more and more on the score sheet. I think he had 23, did he not, against 20-something against Baylor. I think he was as good offensively as anybody had. What did Texas Tech do to him, Dave, to keep him off the score sheet on Monday night?
I think they did to him what they did to everybody else on Iowa State when Texas Tech was on defense. It was just very physical, very energetic. Even though they only had 7 guys playing, I never saw a drop-off in Texas Tech's energy and intensity level throughout that game. And they were as aggressively in Iowa State's face, maybe more so than any team I've seen. Baylor's certainly a really good defensive team. I don't think they played as aggressively. They relied more on their length and athletic ability. This Texas Tech team had to rely on its grit and effort, and they brought a ton of that to the floor, and I think that's why Iowa State struggled so much. And, you know, they play defense like that, they'll probably cause other teams to have low-scoring halves like Iowa State did, because they were just in the face of whoever had the ball for Iowa State and really kind of wore down the Cyclones, maybe even more so than Texas Tech got wore down, which is ironic considering they were shorthanded. But that might be the most aggressive defense that Iowa State faces all season. So it wasn't just Aruna, obviously, who struggled. It was a lot of people, and they you know, really threw Iowa State off the rhythm, especially in that second half. And Arun is a guy, you saw those high scoring outputs the last two games was because he was able to get into an early rhythm and get some opportunities close to the rim and get involved in rebounding and defense and getting the flow of the game. And he was visibly frustrated. You know, a lot of players were in that game Wednesday night just because Texas Tech was so aggressive and in your face defensively.
Goes without saying, this is not an overly deep team. It's going to be a grind getting through this Big 12 slate. Anything that you've talked to at all with TJ about getting these guys off their feet, finding rest and finding different ways, even in the course of the game, you know, find a couple more minutes for Robert Jones or Trey Jackson, just because you know what it's going to be like and trying to get to the end of the season, get to March healthy is going to be difficult with this few of guys out there playing minutes.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if that's one that I don't remember that one coming up. I might have to steal that, Trent, for the pregame interview tomorrow, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Maybe check with TJ and get his take on that, because, yeah, you're right. And especially this opening stretch, you go from Baylor to Tech down to Oklahoma, and then you turn right around on Tuesday and you play at Kansas. And that's not exactly a fun stretch of games to play, especially when a couple of those are on the road in fairly close proximity. So, yeah, it is a grind in the Big 12, as always, and this early stretch here, particularly so for Iowa State, because they play that Tuesday night game at Kansas, so that compresses the schedule a little bit, at least for these first four Big 12 contests.
I know you're focusing on men's basketball. Of course, football is over. Is there any news we're still waiting for as far as players that will take advantage of that extra year? We know Ryan Vance is coming back. Maybe Zach Peterson, is he about the only one, or have you, I understand if you are totally focusing on basketball at this point.
Yeah, I haven't heard much on that front. Zach Peterson would certainly be an interesting case to come back, because I don't, and not an expert on this front, don't really see him as a pro prospect. Maybe he's ready to move on. A guy like Colin Newell, I mean, he's definitely ready to move on. He's been beat up playing center for 4 years, and probably, even though he does have another year of eligibility left, I get the impression that, you know, he's ready to move on and go forward with his life. But it's hard to say with Zach Peterson, because he's not from Ames. I don't know him so well. But he's definitely a guy who you could see coming back, just because he likes to play for Matt Campbell so much. Yeah. He likes that culture, being part of the Iowa State team. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't be surprised either way, whatever his decision is.
Any more on football, Ken?
Done.
I got one selfish one. Need a scouting report. What am I going to see out of the Little Cyclones tonight? Especially that second game, the boys' team, highly regarded this season. What am I going to see in my first look at the Little Cyclones this season? My last glimpse of them last year at the state tournament, going to guess they've taken a step forward.
Yeah, and Taman Lipsy has taken a big step forward. I mean, the growth and maturity of aging another year and working on his game and really developing his skills. He is such an explosive athlete with such great speed. It's really incredible to watch. And he probably, you know, was a little bit raw to start out, even though tremendously athletic as a freshman, because he didn't really specialize in hoops. He played some football, ran track. He wasn't the guy who was totally focused, although he did play AAU ball in the summer, of course. And he was always working on his skills. And now we're seeing that really come to fruition now that basketball is his sole athletic focus. And it's just been tremendous to see the leap he has made from the end of last year to the start of this one. I'm super impressed with the guy. He's absolutely a team-first player. He looks to get his teammates involved early, even though he knows he could probably take over a game at any point. And sometimes he does. If that's what if that's what Ames needs, he'll do that. But his first instinct is to get the rest of his guys involved and distribute a little bit. And he's a really proud and willing defender. I mean, he's a very skilled defender, too, probably one of the best in the state on that end of the floor. And he's going to be fun for you to watch, Trent. I got to say, I got to give you a shout out. I appreciate you stepping up and helping me out. So I'm filling in for Walters. You're filling in for me for the Ames Centennial matchup doubleheader on News Talk 1430 KSI. Can't thank you enough for that assist. And I think you'll really enjoy watching Taman Lipsy and the rest of those guys play.
Have a good call tomorrow night, Dave Sproul. Happy for you. You and Eric Heft will do a good job. Eric is a fine, fine person. I don't have to tell you that, but really one of the best people around. You guys have a good call tomorrow night. Happy for you, Dave. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
You do the same. Dave Sproul filling in for John Walters tomorrow night on the call for Oklahoma, as he did this past week. I can't remember what night the game was. The Texas Tech. Was it Tuesday?
That was Wednesday.
I don't know.
Wednesday.
This week.
Wednesday.
I think it was Wednesday. Iowa last night. Wednesday was.
Yes.
Yeah. Monday night was football, and
it was that forgettable.
Jeez. It really was.
Offensively.
But you know what? 13-1.
Exactly.
We'll come back, get the Hawkeye perspective of what's going on with our friend Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. He's up next. Miller and Condon still have some barbecue to give away from Klaxons. We will do that. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
This is KXNO.
DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to get all new fans in on the action at this exciting time on the football calendar. New customers can bet just $5 on any football team to win their game. If they do, you win $250 in free bets. So let's wind down the season with a big win.
DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on football with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. I've showed Ken how to do this a couple of different times.
Doesn't work with the bigger payout.
More legs you add, the more money you can win. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code KXNO. Bet just $5 on any football team, college or pro, to win $200 in free bets if they win. That's code KXNO this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Iowa only, new customers only, and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
Occurring this spring.
The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with three metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best fresh, never frozen wings, buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale, local sports.
Building a better community doesn't happen overnight. It takes hard work, dedication, and sacrifice. It takes a team, and it takes time. That's why for 75 years, we at NCMIC have been here working for you and with you. But this anniversary, we're not just looking back. We're focusing on the future, on building Iowa, on the better days ahead, and on how together we can all start taking the path forward.
Your side.
The Central Iowa Sports Network is your home for year-round coverage of high school athletics in the CIML and the only place to watch Des Moines Menace Soccer. Providing coverage year-round and always streaming for free on YouTube and at CISN.TV. Subscribe to CISN TV on YouTube to stay up to date on upcoming events. Like and follow on Facebook and Twitter at CISN TV or visit their website at CISN.TV. CISN TV, the home for live local KXNO.
Maybe you're thinking about franchising your business or purchasing a franchise. There's an experienced and trustworthy franchise lawyer right in your backyard. Don't waste your time or money searching for a lawyer out of state when Rush Niggett is here and ready to help your business.
Hi, I'm Rush. I've specialized in business and franchise law for the past 25 years. I don't just want to be your lawyer. I want your business to succeed as much as you do.
Your business needs Rush. Visit his award-winning blog at rushonbusiness.com. It's good to have Rush on.
Fun for podcasting.
Guys, are you looking for an excuse to watch football all weekend long? Then schedule your vasectomy with the Urology Center of Iowa. The Urology Center of Iowa offers nitrous during your vasectomy, cutting-edge technology to help you relax during your procedure. Make the call to 515-400-3550. That's 400-3550 or online at iowauro.com. Vasectomies with the Urology Center of Iowa. And tell them you heard it.
100 bets off.
Market homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7 so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happy.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit circasports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, the new Sunday Night Baseball ESPN crew, Trent Condon, Carl Ravitch, Eduardo Perez, and David Cohn.
Okay.
They are doing a version of the Manning cast.
I saw that.
A-Rod and Michael Kay.
Gross.
Will you tune in?
I will.
For which one?
Well, I'll be watching the normal telecast, but every once in a while
I'm with you.
I hate A-Rod. He's not good in the booth. He's good on a desk.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad.
In a booth, he sucks. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, were the Mannings successful?
Yes.
Did they bring new people to the game, or did they take away from ESPN's audience?
I don't know if they took away. I think they built something there, but
it's fun to watch. I enjoyed it,
but it's not for everyday watchers either.
No, it's not. All right, let's get to Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom was in Madison last night for the Hawks in Wisconsin. I want to start with the football news, Tom, first of all. Thank you for joining us, as always. Kyler Schott has made it official. He is foregoing the COVID year and is going to try and be part of the NFL draft. Pro Football Focus has him on the list of offensive linemen that have an opportunity. Your thoughts on, first of all, on Schott's career, what he built himself into, and then we'll, speculate a little bit on the future.
A fun story.
It really was.
You know, guys, not a big guy, just a hardworking guy that, small town, walks on, earns a scholarship, plays, gets a starting role. I mean, it's one of those feel good stories of Iowa football, and unfortunately had the classic Iowa farm boy injury this early in the year where he breaks his foot jumping off a hay bale.
Right.
And that's just it's just classic.
Not a big guy by any means. People think he's got a shot though at the next level. And he's got farming to fall back on after that one wraps up there. But you look at the future of the offensive line now. Schott's not going to be there. We still anticipate Linderbaum is going to go to the draft, even with the eyes emoji that he had after Riley Moss announced that he's coming back. So a look forward, an offensive line that did improve as the season went on, probably took a little longer than many people anticipated. What do you see up next for that O-line?
I push back on the Linderbaum thing a little bit.
Really?
There's some... I don't know. Tyler's not the guy to put out the kind of trolling tweet.
Huh.
That's not in his nature. And I had heard some stuff down in Orlando that he was like coin flippish about coming back, which is wild to me. Given where he's probably a first round pick.
Yes. Yeah,
you just think that, but he's just a cut from a different cloth. So I'm not ruling out Linderbaum. I'm not saying he's coming back, but I'm saying not ruling it out. He's just kind of a different cat. But otherwise, one thing I kind of anticipate is maybe Connor Colby moving to right tackle. I think Cody Entz would be at guard. Britt maybe at one of the guards. But we'll see how it all shakes out at those two positions, but so much depends on, if Linderbaum does come back, just kind of resets everything. That just changes. That's why I joked the other day that if he did come back, it'd be like getting a 6-star recruit, because I joked the other day that Riley Moss was like getting a 5-star. When you think about it, a guy who is the best defensive back in the Big Ten, according to, the people who voted on that award, that's like a 5-star. Linderbaum would be like a 6-star.
Well put. When will we know, Tom? Give us an idea. You got our full attention here. When do you think we'll know?
I think fairly soon.
Weekend soon?
Maybe, yeah. I think we'll get an idea about what he's going to do.
You're not saying it's done deal, right?
I just remember, like, Hockenson wanted to come back, and then I think Kirk kind of had a sit down with him and said, look, you're nuts. Go to the NFL.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of went to the NFL. But I do know that he's considering seriously coming back, and that he wouldn't have put that eye emoji up. He's just not built that way. You look at his Twitter, it's not, I'm going to troll you guys and get your hopes up kind of guy.
Interesting and intriguing, certainly. Well, the defense looks like it's going to be stacked next year. Offense has a chance to be special if they can find a quarterback or big-time improvements out of Spencer Petras. What's the latest, if anything, transfer portal, recruiting front? What about the quarterback position as we go to 2022?
Yeah, that's kind of the elephant in the room question, isn't it, about quarterback and what's going to happen there. You know, so far, not in the portal. I think everybody thought maybe that was going to happen. It hasn't. So maybe he's hanging on and just going to see what happens. I do think that if Iowa went into the portal, and because if you're going in the portal, you're going in to find a starter.
Without a doubt.
You're not going in to find somebody to be third string. You're not. So if they go into the portal, they better get who they're getting, who they're eyeing, because I would anticipate that Petras and Padilla would be in the portal the next day. Just moving on.
Both of them.
Think so. And I think that's what Iowa probably believes as well, that if those guys are, you know, if they're going to go after a, you know, shoot for the moon, Caleb Williams, they're going to go for him, and kind of organize a huge NIL deal. You saw what, like, Eastern Michigan.
It's crazy.
They offered him $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. It's awesome. I just think if they did something like that, you better nail your target, because you're probably going to be out two quarterbacks if you don't.
I think we should try and talk football as long as we can, Trent, because that's a much funner, much more fun subject than what we saw last night. Just one more for me on football. One of the names we heard so much about leading up to this football season last year was Yahya Black. What happened there, Tom?
I think it's just one of the things was in fall camp, he was kind of dinged up. And so I think he got behind a little bit, and so that slowed his development. The other thing that he's got to do is play with a lower pad level. I know Phil Parker's mentioned that. I think Kelvin Bell's mentioned it as well, that he just plays too high. He's a big guy. And it's one of those things that, like, Carl Davis had to learn how to do that, too, because he was bigger, you know, 6'4", 6'5", defensive lineman. You just got to play lower than your natural body wants you to play. And I think that's the big thing for his development. If he learns to play with a lower pad level, he's going to be tough to keep off the field.
Talented dude, chance going forward. And Lucas Van Ness, another one of those on that defensive line as a youngster, I thought stepped up in a big way. Well, we've talked football. Let's get into it now. Basketball last night and another just pitiful defensive effort, not good on the boards. It was a rough night for the Hawks. Just a rough night or concerns for you going forward?
Oh, I think at this point it's got to be pretty concerning that they are just struggling to stop people. You know, they're just not stopping people at all, and that's the KenPom number for adjusted defense is at 162 today. Mm-hmm. You can't expect to do anything when your adjusted defense is 162 is over 101.7, and that's scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. The next team, you know, Chattanooga at 67 is the only other 100 one. Syracuse 103.7. They're really bad. But nobody else is close to that. Iowa's offense, still really good. Number 3 in the country. But that defensive number has got to improve. And they got to figure out how to rebound.
Yes.
And they just do. Because Wisconsin, going into the game, Wisconsin was being out-rebounded on the season by their opponents by a fraction, but still being out-rebounded. And they just kicked Iowa's butt on the glass. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, nobody's going to mistake Tyler Wahl and Stephen Kroll for Wilt Chamberlain and Bo Russell. It's just they're not great rebounders. So that's something, and we've seen that in several games now where Iowa's just gotten drilled on the glass.
Yeah, offensive, what did Fran say after the game last night? They got 6 second chance opportunities on 31 misses or wherever, whatever the number was, has to be better. If you're getting set to play against Iowa, don't you just, Keegan Murray's going to get his. Don't you just worry to try and shut down the other four? Because until somebody steps up, and you got to give Chris Murray credit last night, he certainly he had double digits last night. But just don't let Keegan get his. We'll shut down the other four.
That's kind of what happens now, isn't it? They don't have that. They haven't found that consistent second scorer. Like last year when you had Luka Garza, you knew you also had Joe Wieskamp. And he could get you buckets. And, Jordan Bohannon until the end was just, he was doing a little Mark Titus. He was, club trillion for most of that game. He did no stats other than minutes. And then he got hot at the end when it was interesting. That was when he was kind of playing point guard. And then he finally started hitting some shots when he had the ball in his hand and bringing it up and taking some threes. So they got to figure out how to get Jordan going. I think that would help immensely. And then, Patrick up and down, I thought he played really well last night. He just didn't score a whole lot of points, but I thought he passed the ball and did a lot of other things that were really good.
This team, you said before the season, as the season progressed, NCAA tournament team. As you look at them right now, you still believe that?
I don't. I really don't. I always thought that they were kind of a bubble team. Mm-hmm. Ken Palm has them 25 this morning. It's wild to me that the analytics sites still love Iowa this year. Yeah. They love them more this year than they did other years when I thought maybe they should have loved them. And it's odd to me. But, Ken Palm, Torvik still loves them. But it's just like, I don't see it. They need a week off. I think they're pretty beat up just talking to some of the guys that they've got some nursing some injuries. So they got to get healthy. If they can get healthy, then maybe they can discover a more consistent defense to go along with trying to find a second and third scorer on a consistent basis.
Wisconsin look like a tournament team to you?
Boy, Johnny Davis looks so good, doesn't he?
Wahl was good.
So smooth. Wahl was really good. That surprised me. They're starting to develop something there. But, boy, I kind of, compare Johnny Davis to, a bigger Donovan Mitchell. He just, ball in his hand, and he can get wherever he wants and get a bucket and, mid-range game, and he's got the deep game, and he can get to the rim and dunk. And he's really good. Much better than I thought he was. So, credit that kid. He's really picked up his game.
Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, you've got our full attention with Tyler Linderbaum. Not the foregone conclusion. Not saying he's coming back, but not the foregone conclusion that 99% of us thought that it was. We will wait for that announcement. HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, we'll talk to you in a week. Thank you, Tom Cakert.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate that. Well, that's interesting.
Yes, intriguing.
Seemed like that was fait accompli.
Different guy. Grew up in Solon.
Yeah, I know it.
Hop, skip, and a jump away. Being a Hawkeye
NFL
was his dream.
NFL will be there next year.
They will.
And he will be a part of it whenever he wants to be. You heard Tom say that Hawkinson got a kick in the pants from Ferentz.
Right.
To get out of here.
Get the same one here.
And he was an eighth overall pick. I've seen a bunch of mock drafts where Linderbaum is in the top 10.
Still hard to believe a center is going to go that high.
Man, but you plug him in for a dozen years at
that
spot.
It's nice, isn't it?
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see. What we will do now is take our final break of the program and open up the phone lines to four of you at 284-515, 284-5966. It's time to win some are give you an opportunity to win some barbecue from Claxons. If you have not participated in this promotion in the last month, you are eligible to do so, regardless if you've won or you haven't. You can only play once a month. We would like to hear from four of you now at 284-5966. If you're getting a ring, that means you are in. Stay right there. We will get to you. Claxons Barbecue next, 515-284-5966.
The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with three metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best fresh, never frozen wings, buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale, Eagle Sports.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. 7:45 on a Friday. Time for Claxons giveaway, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona, online, ClaxsonBBQ.com, ClaxsonBBQ.com. If you're thinking of betting the national championship game Monday night and you're on Georgia's side, DraftKings is the only one that still has 2.5.
Oh, really?
Everybody is up to 3.
Up to 3.
DraftKings holding on for now, so if you are, I wouldn't procrastinate. If you want to get Georgia and don't want to lay the field goal, want to come into that under that magic number. Shane, Derek, Steve, and Scott, we are going to give you four gentlemen an opportunity to win some barbecue from Claxons, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. Shane is up first. Shane, how are you?
Good afternoon. Doing well.
Good to hear. You know how this works, right?
What was that?
You know how this works, right?
Yes.
Here we go. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite over Alabama on Monday.
Let's go with Alabama.
North Dakota State gives 7.5 to Montana State in the FCS championship tomorrow.
Montana State.
Sunday in the NFL, Tennessee is a 9.5-point favorite over the Texans.
Let's go with Titans.
Now here's a little college basketball. Oklahoma, we've got them at 2.5 over Iowa State tomorrow in Norman.
Let's go with Iowa State.
All right, here's the tiebreaker, Shane. Total points in the Sunday night game, Raiders-Chargers. Total points closest without going over is the tiebreaker.
Let's see, 46.
Shane, have a good weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Derek is with Miller and Condon. Hi, Derek.
How are we doing? Love the show, fellas.
Thank you, Derek. 2.5. Georgia, 2.5-point favorite over Bama.
Your defensive line or the size of Volkswagens. I'm taking Georgia all day.
Georgia all day for you. North Dakota State gives 7.5 to Montana State, Derek.
We're giving them. Take the Bison.
Taking the Bison. The Titans are a 9.5-point favorite over the Texans.
That's my team. My Titans are going to roll it. I'll take the Titans.
All right. Oklahoma, 2.5-point favorite over Iowa State tomorrow in Norman.
Oh, we're an offensive juggernaut tomorrow. We're taking the clones all day.
All right. Here's the tiebreaker, Derek. Total points in the Sunday night game, Raiders-Chargers, closest without going over.
39.
Derek, good to hear from you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Love you, Joe.
Thank you. Steve is up next. Hello, Steve.
Hello there.
Steve, Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite over Alabama.
Can't get the first game out of my head. I'm taking Georgia.
Okay. North Dakota State, 7.5 over Montana State.
I'll take all those points. Give me Montana plus those points.
I'm with you on that one. Tennessee, 9.5 at Houston.
I'll take Tennessee.
Oklahoma, 2.5-point favorite over Iowa State tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oklahoma there.
Steve, total points, Sunday Night Football, Raiders-Chargers is the tiebreaker. Closest without going over.
I'll go 40 points.
You have a good weekend, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. And Scott brings Claxons to a close for the week. Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Monday night, Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite over Alabama.
Georgia.
Bison gives 7.5 to Montana State.
Montana State.
Tennessee, a 9.5-point favorite over Houston. In Houston?
Houston.
Oklahoma, 2.5-point favorite over Iowa State tomorrow night, 5 o'clock.
Oklahoma.
And tiebreaker is total points in the Sunday night game. Chargers-Raiders, closest without going over, Scott.
35.
Scott, have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate Claxons, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. Any consensus?
No consensus. No clean sweeps this week. That doesn't mean no automatic plays for me, because I always love to do that. Seemingly each and every week that we get one. But it's time for our picks. We both come off winning weeks.
What were you?
3-1-1.
So you get the T-Box, because I was 3-2.
The T-Box, 3-1-1, 48-41. And one against the spread for me this
48,
season.
48-41.
48-41.
That's pretty
one.
Good. So what did I get to?
You're at 38-50 and one.
Yep.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Building.
Building.
To
I think I've had three straight back-to-back winning weeks.
Still a long ways to go. We do this through February.
Okay.
And we got weeks to go, including our first ever week 18 of the NFL slate. Let's get in there right away, and I am jumping aboard. I thought we were going to get a consensus. Houston all day long. Give me the points and the Texans with pick number one. Absolutely love this one. Let's go to game number two. We're grabbing points again. It's a noon window. Steelers, Baltimore, outside chance of getting in the playoffs. This is a no-doubter.
I've told you
for years. This is every time you get more than a field goal in this game, you grab the points. It happened earlier this season. You were a winner. We're going to the well once again. Grab the 4.5. Give me Pittsburgh with pick number two. You're searching through these games. You got to find ones that make sense. Games that actually matter. This one matters to both teams. 49ers at the Rams. Mm-hmm. This has been domination on one side.
5 straight for San Francisco.
5 in a row, and I'm getting points. I don't care if it's Trey Lance. I don't care if it's Garoppolo. I want the 49ers. Give me the 4.5. And San Francisco with pick number 3. Sunday night football, it almost seems too easy. The Chargers are a better team, right? Mm-mm. Just something off about this team. Every time they take a step forward, it's 2 steps back. Give me the points. Again, for the 4th time, give me the Raiders plus the field goal. And we wrap it up with the national championship game. We'll talk about this, of course, more on Monday. Same thing. I'm getting Alabama and I'm getting points. Where do I sign? All day long. Nick Saban plus the field goal.
All right, Trent. So we've got 3 games the same. Different outcomes in 2 of them. Can I bet the Montana State game tomorrow?
Yes,
you can. The FCS championship game? I'm going to. Tommy Mellott, I love the quarterback. The story, this kid. Great stories. Good player in his own right. I'll take 7.5. I think the Bison go down. 7.5. I might be searching for that money line tomorrow. I mean, Montana State and 7.5. I disagree on the Rams. The Rams need this game in the worst way. As we mentioned, they've lost to San Francisco 5 straight times. This feels to me like the second best team in the NFC right now behind Green Bay. Rams need to prove it. I think they will. Lay the 4.5. Cardinals, Seattle. Is this Russell Wilson's last game as a Seahawk? I'm asking you.
Yes.
I agree. Arizona, going to spoil it. Lay the 6.5. Cardinals, pick number 3. I'm with you, Trent. I think the Raiders are going to beat the Chargers. You're 100% right. 1 step forward, 2, maybe 3 steps back for the Chargers. And my best bet of the week. Folks, you've seen my college bowl picks, right? I've been awful. I've got to get one of them right. Georgia, 2.5. DraftKings, still at 2.5. I will take Georgia as my best bet of the week.
4 favorites for you, 5 dogs for me.
Hang on, I got 3 favorites.
Oh, yeah, you got Montana State. Yeah, Raiders. Yeah, Montana State. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty good for you.
Not bad.
2 doggies this week. Let those doggies bark. So what's your plan? You going to play for our Bet Rivers contest?
No, you know what I think I'm doing? I got $30 left.
Yeah.
I think I might save it and bet the Blue Jays.
Just gonna accept that there's a loss. There's no way to get back in it.
I don't have a prayer. Andrew Downs is home free.
Oh, he is dominating this competition. I mean, he is.
So I think I'll just take a pass and bet a future on the Jays once those come out.
Are they? They're not out yet.
I don't think they are. I don't know if there's going to be a season.
Right.
I mean, we think there will.
Win totals make sense because
we don't know. There's been free agencies going to go crazy once they get back.
Figure it out.
Yes, please.
How about Rob Manfred firing, was it Verducci?
Yeah.
Or not re-upping his contract, I guess it was.
Because he was critical of him in a column.
What?
Come on, grow some skin for some
He's got
skin.
Some problems,
he
does.
Absolutely. And the player should be one of them. What did he call the trophy?
Just a hunk of metal?
Yeah, a hunk of metal. I was going to say piece of junk. It wasn't quite that bad, but...
Pretty close.
Yeah, it's your sport. It really is. I mean, that's how a lot of them heard it. Iowa State tomorrow. Do they beat Oklahoma on the road to move to 14-1? Number's pretty. You set it at 2.5 with Ken Pom, which will be close.
Yep.
The Groves brothers, both of them. Tanner, the big kid in the middle.
I think so. I think they get it done. I think they find a way to eke out a victory. 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, yes.
Weird time. Weird start time.
Well, it's Broncos and Chiefs, too, so I'm going to be going back and forth one more time, but that's okay. It's a clacker.
Right.
You're not going down a mine shaft.
I think you're going to get a better game with the college basketball tomorrow than you're getting
I think so. I think Denver's going to get killed. I think Kansas City will win. Now, you've been saying all week you like the Texans to knock off the Titans, therefore giving Kansas City the one
seed. Well,
not knock
them off. I'm grabbing the points.
Oh, you're not necessarily beat them.
I don't think they're going to beat them. I think they got something up their sleeve.
They beat them convincingly when they played earlier this year.
They did. Does Henry play this week?
No.
Do you get him 4 or 5 carries?
If you can.
Just to get him acclimated, get his feet, and especially, if you win, you get the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to get a little bit of that rust shaken off.
You know who
off?
Else is on that same injury plane? J.J. Watt. I thought he was done for the year.
Right, yeah, so did
He's probably not going to play this week, but maybe in the playoff game next week. Well, that is going to do it for us here today. You can hear Trent tonight. He's got the Ankeny Centennial versus the Little Cyclones on 1430 KASI. Murph and Andy are 1 hour and 4 minutes away. The Fanatics at 3 tomorrow morning. Start your morning with the Saturday morning pregame show, sir, on Roberts & Company on the air tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We're back on Monday. We're Miller and Condon weekdays from 10 until noon. On Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.